Turn in your Bible with me to the book of Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. This is the benediction to the book of 1 Thessalonians, where that Paul was writing to the church there at Thessalonica. And as Paul concluded this particular writing, one of the things that we begin to understand is how that Paul, again, a church that was under great persecution, a church that was under fire, a church that no doubt in my mind had went through the attack of the devil and the attack of the enemy. For you and I to understand this evening that you and I told somebody this on the phone this evening. I said, hey, the old devil's going to do what he's going to do, and it's not likely that we're ever going to get out from under the simple attack of the enemy. As you know, and we've read through Thessalonians several times, that the main part of the main theme of 1 Thessalonians is Paul was writing to this church and reminding them of the coming of the Lord, and that they had not missed the coming of the Lord. That event had not taken place yet. Most of this particular book, as well as 2 Thessalonians, focuses around the coming of the Lord and the Antichrist and such as that. But yet this evening, I chose to do this, these verses of Scriptures, because I don't know what I'll get to do Sunday, and I don't know what I'll get to do next Tuesday, because those days have not come yet. So I'm here this evening to share with you what I believe the Lord laid on my heart. And again, I want to put it to you in a question form. Once I read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're going to pick up in verse number 15, where again Paul was writing to them and saying, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. When are we supposed to rejoice? Always, evermore, even under persecution, even in the midst of evil men, even in the midst of the days in 2021 that we're living in, where it seems like that things are just kind of going in a way that's not very pleasing unto the church or many people at all. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. You and I have the option to be thankful unto God, even in the middle of persecution. And that's, I believe, where Paul was trying to set the tone for this early church, that they be a church that is filled with the joy of the Lord, that they be a church that would be, even in the middle of all that they were going through, that they were to rejoice. And then he says that they're to be a church of prayer. Pray without ceasing. In other words, no matter what you're going through, not only rejoice, but he says also pray. And then the third thing he says there, in verse number 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. Everything is not good. But even when things are not good, Paul reminds them that you can still find something good even in a bad situation. Somebody said, well, I wrecked my car. But you live through it, right? I seen a little funny, well, really wasn't even a funny. It was a real life event just this week, just sort of perusing through the old Facebook thing. You know how we do. There was a guy on a tractor. He was pulling a hay buggy. People was on the buggy, and it was filled with hay, and people were sitting there, and he pulled out of a side road, and a car came around a curve speeding, and he was on a tractor pulling the buggy. And the car came around the curve speeding and hit the tractor. You men that knows what bigger tractors are, hit the tractor right behind the front tire. And when he hit the tractor right behind the front tire, it took off the whole front of the tractor. Tractors break apart right there to work on tractors and stuff, clutches and things of that nature. But it took the whole front of that tractor off, and here he was sitting on the seat, and when the front went off, it just slid right down. He slid right down on the road. It's the funniest looking thing I ever seen. But I thought about that in connection to this message this evening. because he lost his tractor, but yet all the people on the hay buggy was saved. His life was saved. It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen as far as an accident like that. So Paul again is reminding us, when you look at this, in everything, give thanks. By this again, I think that we can find something good if we look deep enough into many situations. He says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's pray together. Father, I do thank you. I do thank you, Father God, for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I thank you, Father, that you are among us even here tonight and in this place. Father, I thank you for every person. I thank you for every individual that's come together tonight. Lord, as we think about this service, as we talk about this service, as we work our way through the service over the next little bit, Father, I pray that you would recondition us and recondition our hearts this evening, that we would look deep into our hearts and deep into our lives this evening, even though around us today it seems like there wouldn't be very many things to be thankful for. But God, we are thankful unto you, for God, you've given us this day. And we do thank you for it. We ask you to bless this service this evening, each and every one that's here, whether in the service, here in the sanctuary, or online. Father, we thank you. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, the thought that I had when I started to put this together this evening is simply this. Do you have a thankful heart? Question mark. And the reason that I feel like God laid it on my heart. But the reason that I wrote that down the way I did is because of the way I felt it. Because it seems like everywhere we look today, there seems to be so many people today that is filled with discouragement. Everywhere you look today, there seems to be trouble on every hand. It seems today, if we look around, it would be as if there really would not be that much to be thankful for. But I believe that we begin to look at the scripture and we can understand that being thankful, or the word thanks, is certainly a biblical word. You can begin to look all throughout the scripture and you can actually find that throughout the Word of God. It was the psalmist, and you know the scripture as well as I do, in Psalm 100. There's only six little verses there. But this is one of the greatest places that you and I can understand that when we come into God's presence, we can come into God's presence with a thankfulness that is about us. And I can't talk about nobody in this room. I can only talk about me. I don't ever want to take a day for granted. I don't ever want to take my life for granted. I don't ever want to take my health for granted. I don't ever want to take you for granted. I don't want to go through a day when thankfulness for something cannot roll off of my lips. Every person in this room, we can find something to be thankful for. When the psalmist wrote this psalm in Psalm 100, this is what he opens up with, this simple words. He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. This is an exhortation for the world to be filled with joy. It is an exhortation for you and I as God people to let the joy of the Lord become our strength on a day-to-day basis. And then he tells us in verse number 2, he said, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Let this be the day that God has given us to serve the Lord with gladness. To find the joy of the Lord in our heart. Find that the joy of the Lord is what sustains you and sustains me on a day-to-day basis. And then he says, verse number 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Let me throw a little something in right there. If I am the sheep of his pasture, that means I have a shepherd. The Bible says that Jesus is the good shepherd, and he knows how to take care of his sheep. I'm thankful for that this evening. I'm thankful that I belong to Him and He is mine. But more than anything else, I'm glad that I belong to Him and He's my shepherd and He watches over the sheep. Have you ever thought about it in the midnight hour when you're asleep? Have you ever thought about your home in the middle of the night when you're there resting? How many of you know that the Bible says that the eye of the Lord is upon His people, that God never slumbers nor does He sleep? I'm thankful unto Him tonight for His goodness and His grace and His mercy. And whatever I need, God already is very aware of that. Verse number 4 is the key verse of this scripture, because this is what He says: enter into His gates with thanksgiving. The spirit of gratitude. When we come into His courts in the Old Testament, the temple, when they came through the gate into where the Holy of Holies would be behind the veil. But it was said that when they come into the temple court, that there were people that would be singing. I'll show you that later. There would be people that would be singing, and they would have banners and flags, and they would be worshiping God and glorifying God and magnifying God. Somebody says, well, preacher, I'll glorify God and I'll praise God when I feel like it. I want to tell you something, friend. There's a lot of days I may not feel like it, but the Bible says that we are to come before Him with singing and praise and glorification of His name. So out of obedient heart of knowing who God is, I develop an attitude of gratitude. Out of knowing who God is, I tell my life, I tell myself, oh, depression, you're not going to get me. Oh, devil, you're not going to get me. I may get down in the mully grubs, but I'm not going to stay there. Come on, somebody. You're going to have bad days in life. You're going to have days that's not favorable in your life. But it's through all of them things that God shows us who He is, and He shows us how big He is, and He shows us His love, and He shows us His glory, and He shows us His presence. And because of that, I will enter into His gates with thanksgiving. When I come into the courts of the Lord, when I come into His sanctuary, oh, my friend, is as if the burden of my soul rolls away. Why? Because I know without shadow of a doubt that I am in the presence of God and God alone. I am in His presence, and it's in His presence that the fullness of joy, and I can have my body renewed. I can have my mind renewed. I can have my strength renewed. Why? Because it's in Him that I live and I move and I have my being. And without Him, I cannot do anything at all. So do we have anything to praise God for tonight? We got a lot of stuff to praise God for tonight. Hey, He says enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Two different parts of the tabernacle. Two different areas of the tabernacle. I enter into the gate praising His name. I enter into the court praising His name. That's what the Bible said. And then He said, enter into His courts with praise. And then He says, and be thankful unto Him. How many of you know He woke you up this morning? Amen. He gave you a right mind today. Amen. He gives you the ability to sling your legs out over the side of the bed, plant your feet on the floor, open up your mouth and give Him praise and glory and honor throughout this day. We need to be thankful unto Him. So the question is, do you have a thankful heart this evening? I remember how that we look into the Word of God. The Bible reminds us in the scripture in the book of James, and I didn't write down the scripture reference. I just wanted to make a quick reference to it, simply because the Bible said that sweet water and bitter water cannot come forth out of the same fountain. Your life and my life is to be filled with the sweetness of Jesus. The sweetness of Jesus, we find that. And James compares that to a life that is not filled with gratitude, compared to a life that is filled with a spirit of gratitude. and a life that is filled with a life that is not filled with thankfulness. I'm sorry, trying to read my own writing. Attitude, again, when we think about when we come into God's presence. Now, I'm not talking about anybody in the room but me. Okay, so y'all just go ahead and talk to each other for a few minutes. I need to talk to myself for a minute. I don't know if anybody in the room's ever had a bad attitude or not. Hello? There's been times in my own life when I've had to have God. Well, we use the word like this. We have to get an attitude alignment. We have to get an attitude adjustment. There have been times in my own life when I've kindly found myself, I guess, going off to the side a little bit. Well, Thanksgiving is a good time that we think about the Lord. We think about provision. We think about what we have. Now, I don't know about you, but just having give us this day our daily bread, that little prayer that we teach our children, by His hands we all are fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for food. Hello? I'm thankful for clean water. I'm thankful for clothes. And I'm thankful for the fact that God knows what we have need of before we even ask. Now, there's only three things that I want to talk about this evening. So you might get out a little bit early, but I wouldn't count on it. Just kidding. Three things that a thankful heart will do. Three things that a thankful heart or a right attitude will do. Are you ready? Here's the first thing. It places the right perspective on who God is. Hello? It places the right perspective on who God is. Well, I went to the Old Testament on this, and it might take you a minute or two to find it, but you can turn to the Psalms and go back just a little bit, and you're going to run across a book of Nehemiah. Now, I don't have time to go through the whole book of Nehemiah, where that for so many years the walls of Jerusalem had been broken down, and how the enemy had come in, and how the enemy had destroyed the walls. And if my memory serves me well, these walls lay in waste for over 120 years. For 120 years, the walls there in the book of Nehemiah lay in waste. But yet it was a time when Nehemiah came and he saw what was going on, and he began to weep and cry before God because it was a daily reminder of the destruction of the enemy. Nehemiah began to solicit the king. He was able to get the lumber. He was able to get the wood. He was able to go into the far country. He got favor of going over and getting the wood from the foreign country to come back and actually begin to build the wall. What lie in waste for 120 years? I think that's correct. So you can correct me on that if it's not later. But 52 days they were able to rebuild the wall. He put every man in place. He put those that had the sword and a trowel, everything they needed. And I could go through there and read all of that. But he put every man in place. And once he put every man in place, he had every man do their particular job. And over a period of 52 days, what lie in waste, 120 years, they were able to see God once again do a miracle right before them. So what did Nehemiah do? Well, Nehemiah chapter number 12, this is one of the things that they began to do. When you look at it, I love to read this, and I'm going to be honest, it's been a long time since I'd read this, and I didn't even think about this when I was studying this out. But I thought it was so awesome that when Nehemiah began to get ready to dedicate the wall, and the people were there, and they were from towns and villages next door. Guess what Nehemiah did? Now watch this. I don't know why in the past, and it's probably been a long time since I've read this. Guess what he did? He got a praise committee together. You say, what? He got a group of people to go in front of everybody else. And he sent those people in front of everybody else. And what they were doing, and I'll read it here in just a second, they were going in front of the crowd, and they were singing and they were worshiping and they were getting all the people's attention focused back on God so that they could actually go into the town, go back there and bring praise unto God. Sometimes when we have been out of step with God, when we begin to think about God, we begin to be thankful in our heart. And again, that's the question this evening. Do you have a thankful heart? Things begin to be in perspective. I heard somebody say here a couple of weeks ago that that there's somebody always in worse shape than yourself. My neighbor, and I hope this don't offend anybody when I say this because I am online. My neighbor a couple of weeks ago, about a month or so back, just a freak accident, her son fell. He went to East Davidson High School over here. Lives right beside of me. I got back from town. I had to run to town, and the yard and everybody, the police and rescue squad and everything was there. And it wasn't one of them best days for some people. Anyway, Aaron was in the house and not having a really good day there. And he said, well, he said, somebody's always got it a lot worse than yourself, don't they? And I said, yeah, they do, son, because you oftentimes have this vision that you only focus on what's right in front of you and really focus on your own situation. That is human nature. That is who we are. But I tell you, when we look around us today in our economy, in our world today, hey, if we're having a good day, we ought to be thankful unto God, because there's a lot of people that are having bad days somewhere. Can I get an amen in the house? We ought to be thankful unto Him. Let's jump back to Nehemiah. We're going to go to Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 27. Look what happened. And it said, and at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness. Again, this is putting things in right perspective. The walls had been lying in waste for 120 years. So they got the walls built back. Look at this. And it says to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness. In other words, they said, hey, if we're going to do this dedication, if we're going to do this thing right for God, we're going to do it with gladness. We're going to have a gleeful heart. We're going to have a merry heart. We're going to have a thankful heart. And this is what he says there. He says, the dedication with gladness. Look, both with thanksgiving and with singing and with cymbals and psalteries and with harps. I don't know about you, but this is me. When I think about the goodness of God, when I think about what God has done, I'm telling you, if there's anything that we need today, we need to get the right perspective once again on who God is. Nehemiah set the tone as they began to dedicate the wall. He said, hey, don't come in there mully grubbing, belly whining and all of that. He said, hey, if you're going to be in the praise of God, if you're going to be in, let me just say it like I feel it. If you're going to be in leadership, hey, if it's your turn to lead, what is he saying? He says, lead with gladness. Amen. He says, lead with gladness. He said, put on the praise, put on the symbols, put on the glorification of God. This is what he's saying with the psalteries in the heart. This is what I think about. He said, and this is me again, if we as leaders and me as a leader, if all I can do is have a woe is me or a poor little old me syndrome thing, how in the world am I ever going to lead you if that's all I ever deal with? I'm going to tell you something, friend. There's things going on around me all the time, but there's one thing I've determined out. No matter what I'm going through, God don't change. He's an ever-present help in the time of trouble, and I can raise my voice in praise just as much as I can raise my voice in anything else I could do. God told them in Nehemiah's day, hey, this is what I want you to do. I want you to lead the people with gladness. I want you to sing. I want you to shout. I want you to rejoice and be glad for what God is doing. Look, he says in 28, the sons and the singers gathered themselves together, both out of the plain of the country round about Jerusalem, all the villages, from all the villages of Nebatroth. And then he says in verse 29, also from the house of Gilgal, and in the fields of Gibeah and all those other places. Singers had builded them all where they'd worked on the wall. Look in verse number 31. And I brought up the princes of Judah upon the wall and appointed two great companies of them, but that gave thanks, whereof one went to the right hand of the wall toward the dung gate. And then he lets us know that the other one, you can read it in a minute, that the other one went the other way. In other words, they went to the right, they went to the left. And what did they do? They gave thanks unto God. They glorified God. They magnified. You say, well, I don't know much about this organization of praise, and I'll praise Him when the Spirit hits me. Honey, let me tell you something. If the Bible already says, open up your mouth and give God the praise, you do it out of obedience. You don't have to feel it. You're doing it because the Bible says to rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. He says to be glad and to be thankful unto Him. We do that because we know who God is. And we need to get over this thing. I'm going to praise God when I feel like praising God. I'm gonna shout when I feel like shouting. I'm going to give God glory when I feel like it. Hey, you'll probably never be glorifying or praising God, because there's a lot of days you get out of bed and it's all you can do to put one foot in front of the other. But I'm going to tell you, if I have to shuffle through my house, I'm going to say, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and I'm going to rejoice in Him, because I know in whom I have believed. I refuse to give the devil one inch of my life. If I have to shuffle, or if I'm doing the huckabuck, I don't care. I'm going to glorify God and magnify Him, because that's who He is. My praise puts God in the right perspective in my life. Hallelujah. I went to Food Line. I went to Ingles. They wasn't no blackberry cobbler in either store. I walked out of there disappointed at both places. But I got an apple instead. You say, what's that got to do with anything? You can always find something to rejoice about. You may not always get what you want, but you're going to get what God gives you. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. Huh. So Nehemiah appointed his singers, his worshipers, two great companies that gave thanks, whereof one went to on to the right, up on toward the wall to dung gate. And after them went the other names of these people. I'm not going to try to pronounce all these Hebrew names. It would be a waste for me to try to do that. Looky here, the companies of the people that He sent. Verse 38. The other company of them that gave thanks went over against them, and I after them. And the half of all the people upon the wall, from beyond the tower of the furnaces, even unto the broad wall, they went to the fish gate. Verse 39. They went to the sheep gate. They stood at the prison gate. Look in verse 40. So stood two companies of them that gave thanks in the house of God, and I and half the rulers with me. In other words, praise and thanksgiving was ordered, but yet it became contagious. Are you with me? Second thing I want to talk to you about here real fast is this. So number one, it puts the right perspective on who God is. Amen? It kind of puts a whole new perspective to life when we find the right attitude. Number two is having a thankful heart removes the selfishness of the person that I can be and replaces it with the person that I should be. Now, I know that'll take a minute to digest. Removes selfishness of the person that I am or that I can be. In other words, I can be selfish. You can and I can. We can. Well, it's human nature. It's amazing to me. Little kids get around the room playing. One kid will get a toy. Riker and Jackson's not as bad as he used to be, but Riker will have a toy and Jackson will want it. They play these things on TV and they'll be getting each other's little toy box thing that they're playing. I don't even know what it's called. My daughter does. They fight over that thing. Video things that they do on TV. I don't like them, but that's what they do. I mean, it's like when you think about selfishness, we think about what I've got is not enough. God said, my God shall supply all of your need. Right? God's supplying your need. According to his riches and glory, God's not bankrupt. And God's going to supply the need. But here's the thing. This is me. Learning to be content in whatsoever state I'm in. That's what Paul said. But it removes, when I find a grateful heart or a thankful heart, it removes the selfishness of the person that I can be and replaces it with the person that I should be. We should be thankful. We think about thanksgiving. I think about thanksgiving in spite of the heartaches of life. We see this in Psalm 95. I'm going to turn back there really quick. Psalm 95, we read this in Psalms, and we can see it in a couple of different places. Let me turn there to Psalm 95. Kathy will find it before me tonight. And this is in verse number 1 through 6. He says, oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with whining, complaining, murmuring, backbiting, gossip, lying, cheating, stealing. It don't say none of that, does it? He says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, being filled with gratitude. And again, when we do this, it takes the focus off of us and puts our focus back on God. As we praise God, hey, God's going to open up the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing. Amen. How many of you know that? God knows these things that we have need of. Here's another thing it says. He says, let us come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. A joyful noise. And he says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Come before him with thanksgiving. Something about that just struck me. How do we come before God? Thanking him. Thanking him. We oftentimes get wrapped up in this gimme thing, don't we? Lord, give me this. It won't be 3 seconds into our prayer. Lord, I need, God, would you? Our first 15 minutes of prayer needs to be nothing more than just concentration on who he is. We should magnify him for who he is before we ever ask him for anything. Now, somebody says, is it wrong to ask God? No, not at all, because he teaches us to ask, seek, and knock. He teaches us to cry and cry aloud unto him. But we cannot be selfish when we need to be thankful and have the right attitude going into our prayer and to live our life.